You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and thanks for joining. We've been talking today about Michigan's newly signed budget and how it affects our criminal courts. But really, the headline out of this new budget, at least as far as I'm concerned, is the way that we plan to spend on education. $24 billion is the number attached to this year's education budget. School districts will receive $9,608 for each K-12 student in the 2023-24 school year. That is an increase of $458. There are lots of other things as well that we're doing that make a lot of sense in a state that has fallen further and further and further behind when it comes to the education agenda, and especially the way we need to invest in it. That's where we want to continue the conversation right now. What did lawmakers hope to achieve in this budget with regard to education, and what do they think the outcomes will look like over the next 12 months? To help us understand that, we are now joined by Darren Camilleri. He is a Democrat from Trenton and the number two Democrat in the Michigan Senate. Darren, welcome to Detroit Today.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's start here. This is a budget that is being described as historic and transformative. I think they're both descriptors that make sense when you look at the numbers. But talk about what this budget is doing differently and what outcomes we hope to see from it.
So those are exactly right. I think that we intentionally wanted to invest in historic and equitable ways for the first time in 40 years. We did see some strong improvements under the last 4 years with the governor taking charge of the state. She was able to strike some Republican deals on education that many of us supported in the legislature because we knew they were major advancements going forward. But with having a chance to have the pen in Democratic hands in every chamber and in the governor's office for the first time in 40 years, this was our chance to make a mark on Michigan history. And so we chose to do that in the state budget process. I'm a former teacher. I taught in Detroit.
This is personal for you.
Very, very personal for me. I walked into my classroom when I was 22 and I had no textbooks. I had no curriculum. They made me department chair. It was very chaotic. Mm. And this was a time where, charter schools were on the rise and going into neighborhoods where schools already existed, and really saw a major destabilization of the system. And so it was very difficult. I fundraised to get books for my classroom. I made copies to figure out how to get texts for my kids. And I did the best that I could in a very chaotic situation. I think about that experience for 2 years I taught. I think about that experience every day that I'm up in Lansing. And so when we wanted to craft this budget, I was thinking about my experience. I was thinking about the hundreds of educators in my region who are working on this, all the tireless teachers and paraprofessionals and special educators who go to work every day thinking about how to best serve their kids. We also took this on the road and we listened to educators. Mm-hmm. We listened to educators in Detroit, in Downriver. I held roundtables in Grand Rapids, in Macomb County. We wanted to get a feel for what could we do. So with our investments, we spent a significant amount of money on closing the gap on equity.
Yeah.
We spent over $200 million.
That is a huge development. And it's something that we've been talking about on this show for a long time. I mean, we're now, I think, more than a decade past the point where we had a study in Michigan that said in order to make sure that that everybody has what they need to educate the kids in their district, we got to stop looking at it in terms of a dollar for dollar kind of exchange, that some districts have such challenges that they need more money than others. I think it's a really obvious truth, but we haven't been budgeting that way. This really is the first step toward doing that.
So it was a $200 million increase in the at-risk funding line, which we are now calling the Opportunity Index. Mm-hmm. And so this was a novel concept that the Senate passed that I'm very proud to have been the champion of, where we are getting closer to that equity lens that we have seen from studies like the School Research Collaborative. And in this new program, we are spending more money on districts with higher concentrations of poverty. Mm-hmm. And so if you are in an 85% plus concentration of poverty district, you are going to receive a 17% additional allowance per kid. And that is something that is unheard of in Michigan politics here. Yeah. So we are, you know, still going to be investing in every school district, no matter the concentration of your poverty. But the more students that you have that have these needs, we're going to give you more of those resources to close those equity gaps.
I mean, in the classroom and the school where you found yourself as a 22-year-old, imagine what kind of difference that would have made if there were that kind of, you know, equity formula back then.
I think in my experience, we could have not only had the materials that we needed for my students, but we could have had all the supports around me as well, right? We could have hopefully had master veteran teachers to help learn from. We could have had additional school counselors and psychologists and all the supports that my students needed. There were many times where I was filling in for the various positions of a student for what a student needed. And I wasn't ready to take on the role of being a counselor or a psychologist or an intervener in some of these very difficult situations for my students. We did have some of those supports. I'm not pretending like it was vacant of those support staffs, but when you have two counselors for 450 students in a very high need school, that's not enough. And so this additional money, I believe, will make really big impacts in this immediate school district year coming up.
Yeah. So my friends on the Republican side of the aisle in Lansing would say that money is not always the key to solving the problems that we have in education, and that we have a problem in Michigan and maybe in some other places with spending money and not making sure that they're spent effectively or efficiently, and that we end up not moving the needle in terms of outcomes, even though we're pumping more cash into things. What's your answer to that? And what are the kind of things that the Democratic majority is now trying to put in place to make sure that when we spend more money, we get the outcomes we want?
Well, it's important that we recognize that the amount of money we've been spending for years was never enough. And so we are just trying to right the ship and be in a position.
That's such a key thing to say. Say that again, please.
It is very important to recognize that we have not been spending enough money on education for several decades. We have been disinvesting in our school districts intentionally, I think, on many parts of my Republican colleagues, because they don't believe in a traditional public school system. Mm-hmm. And this is our chance to not only right the wrongs, but now we have to go further. And so this budget is setting us on a pathway of creating an equitable school system for all Michigan students. Whether you live in Detroit or downriver or Grand Rapids or in rural parts of northern Michigan, we are also investing in those school districts too. And that's something that I hope my Republican colleagues recognized, which is why we end up getting 9 Republican votes to pass this budget out of the Senate. And that's a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah. There are some other things that you tackle in this budget that I think are really important and things that we should have been thinking about a while ago. It includes provisions for free breakfast and lunch for all public school students, as well as the first steps toward free pre-K for all 4-year-olds. Talk about how important the majority in Lansing thinks those measures are.
So we are now one of 7 states in the country to offer the free breakfast and lunch program for all Michigan students or all students in our public school system. That is a major step to help families. We saw this during COVID when we did extend that program through the federal government. It made it easier for so many families. And I hear this actually most often out of our budget. This is the thing most families are excited about. Because sometimes, you know, a mom or a dad forgets to make lunch for their kid out the door. You've got some stigma that kids deal with when they may not have lunch money or they are on this free breakfast and lunch program. And it makes makes a point of difference for kids in an environment where every kid should be treated exactly equal. Mm-hmm. And so we believe that this is going to not only help families save money, but it's also going to save them a lot of convenience and time and make a learning environment so much more equitable for our students. That's something that I'm very, very excited about. And then when we look at the free pre-K program, not only do we expand to another 5,600 students in Michigan, we're also adding a 5th day. So this was a major request that we've seen from childcare advocates and families. The current GSRP program only covers 4 days. And this now will have the option to mirror a 5-day calendar, just like a traditional school, which I think is going to bring a lot of relief for families and hopefully enroll even more students into a pre-K programs all over Michigan.
Yeah. We're talking with Darren Camilleri. He is the assistant majority leader in the Michigan State Senate. He's a Democrat who represents parts of Downriver. We're talking about the education budget and what we're going to do differently, at least over the next 12 months here in Michigan with regard to education, because there's now a Democratic majority in both houses of the legislature. And of course, Governor Gretchen Whitmer is also a Democrat. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call and let us know if you're a parent or a child or a teacher in our schools. What do you see as the challenges that you face? And how do you feel about what the Michigan legislature and the governor have decided to do to make that a little easier? Is it enough? Is it a good start? What difference will it make in your day-to-day? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag us, and we can include you that way. Darren, there are some provisions in the budget to address the educator shortage and support existing teachers as well to stop losing them as much as we are. But some people say these measures don't fully address the root causes of the shortage, which is low pay and difficult working conditions. Talk about what you're doing and what else we may also need to do to keep more teachers in classrooms.
Fixing the teacher shortage has been a goal of mine for the last 6 years. We have not made enough progress during my time in the House, but this was our chance to think about it from the lens of educators. I am one of several former educators who are in the Michigan legislature in the majority. And not only are we investing in the pipelines, so we have fellowship programs and student teacher stipends and advanced training and professional development, all of that I know is very welcome by our educators across Michigan. We are also investing in keeping teachers in the classroom. An idea that I had that I think is going to make a big impact is actually helping to pay off student loans for our educators. This is a $225 million pot that will go out based on the type of school district that you teach in. So any educator will be able to receive up to $200 per month. If you serve in one of these higher concentration poverty districts via our opportunity index, you can receive up to $400 per month to help pay off those student loans. The idea comes from the federal program, where if you teach for 10 years, the federal government will pay off your loans after year 10. But during that 10-year period, you have to make payments.
Yeah.
And so if you're making $45,000 a year as a beginning teacher, which would be an okay salary, you're already automatically minusing out $4,000 or $3,000 from your paycheck because of the student loan payment. This is the state of Michigan recognizing that we're going to support you during that process. We want you to be in the classroom, and we're going to help make that transition a little bit easier. In addition, we did set aside about $64 million to help directly increase teacher pay. It was a program that I fought for pretty hard to make sure that we are recognizing that the state of Michigan has a role to play here too, where we know that the per pupil foundation is the key indicator of how a district can pay teachers. But if we can just directly set aside some money, we know that teachers' pay will have to increase because we're giving it for that exact purpose.
Yeah. So the budget also allocates significant funds for mental health resources in schools. I feel like this is a critical need and has been made much more apparent to us in the last few years. We've only got about a minute and a half left, but I want to talk just a little about that.
Yeah, this was a key piece of our budget. We spent over $300 million in this category. The thing that we did a little bit differently too was that we gave school districts the flexibility to use this money how they wanted, whether if they wanted it to all go towards mental health, if they wanted to spend some of it on school safety, they can. But we have various needs across the hundreds of school districts in Michigan. This is an investment that I believe is going to make a major, major difference, whether it's more counselors or more support for educators to learn how to deal with the challenges of their students, technology, whatever the needs that they have are. This major investment is going to hopefully address those root causes and get us on the right path.
Yeah. Okay. Darren Camilleri, great to have you here with us in the studio, and congratulations on forging this first budget of the new Democratic majority. It'll be really interesting to see how that unfolds over the next 12 months.
Thank you so much.
Also, I should correct that I said Senator Camilleri was the chair of the Senate Education Committee. That's actually the job of his colleague, Senator Dana Polhink. He is the chair, though, of the Senate Pre-K to 12 Appropriations Subcommittee. I gave you a different job there.
It's all good.
Thanks for being here. All right. That's going to do it for us today. Tune in tomorrow when we look at how government can help people and the case for you, yes, you, to possibly join government to help your community. This is 101.9 WDETFM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.